We're glad that you're here. We're also grateful that God has sent the sunshine out to play with us the last couple of days. I don't know about all of you, but it felt to me like we had a really long, really cold winter, and I have never been so grateful for the spring, for the sunshine, for the gorgeous red tulips and yellow daffodils. It all brings so much joy. And as I was thinking about what passage from the Bible should we use to start our worship today, it seemed obvious to me that God was saying, let's talk about that very well-known passage, perhaps the passage that culturally more people are aware of than any other, from Ecclesiastes. It says, for everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. But the words from this passage that our culture never shares come two verses later, when in verse 11, the writer says, God has made everything beautiful in its time.
Amen.
And so we are with the seasons. God illustrates the rhythms of life through the seasons that he gives us. Every year, we're going to get a winter. Sometimes it's longer and colder than other times. And every year, it's going to be followed by a spring. And many of us in our souls, we experience those same rhythms. In fact, God has assured us that all of us will experience winter, and he's given us the promise that all of us will also experience spring at the end of those winters. And so wherever you are in the seasons of life today, I hope that you can remember that it's the frozen tundra of the winter that produces those beautiful bulb flowers. It's the long, dreary, wet days of winter that give us the deep green of those fir trees that accent our state. Jesus, thank you so much for the illustrations that you give us. Day after day, season after season, on earth and in our lives, Jesus, the assurance that we will walk through dark times and that you will always be there with us, helping us to discover spring at the end of those seasons, promising that you find beauty in all things, you create beauty in all things. And Jesus, I pray that with today's service, that the folks who are getting baptized, Jesus, are going to find sure footing on their walk with you, that they will know that they have a solid foundation in this church family, that we love them, that we support them, that we want to help you to help them to find beautiful things in their lives, Jesus. We know you have immeasurable power to do good for all of us, and we call on that today. Thank you for the beauty of this season. Thank you for your promise of goodness. Please let your words flow from our pastor's mouth this morning, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
You knew where you wanted to be, but you couldn't figure out the way to get there. If you've gone to the beach recently, every single time, never fails. There's always that one car, right, that drives a little too far into the soft sand. Their wheels are spinning. Everyone comes around. They are stuck. When I was a little kid, the first time I remember being stuck was at Dairy Queen. Somehow during my little blizzard, I got my foot stuck between the booth and the wall. I don't even know how that happens, but it was stuck. And I was crying. I couldn't get out. I was going to live in Dairy Queen the rest of my life. I had to call in the fire department to come and unbolt the booth from the wall to get me unstuck. Perhaps you've had a dream program that you knew could be a life changer, but there's no funds, there's no child care, you're stuck. A bad marriage, too afraid of being alone, stuck. A stubborn addiction that you just can't break, and yet it's breaking you, stuck. That seed of resentment that you just can't shake, stuck. A body that won't let you do the things that you want to do, stuck. Perhaps it's a desire to be closer to Jesus, to live a more adventurous life with him. But you take this honest inventory of your life and you realize that there really has been very little growth the past 5 years, maybe 10 years. Stuck. Anyone feeling just a little bit stuck this morning? This man in John 9, he knew all about being stuck. We don't know his name. We just know what his lot in life is. For 38 years, he had joined other invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed, it says, around this pool of Bethesda or Bethesda. And every day they would gather around and they would wait for the waters to begin to stir, because supposedly when the waters began to stir, the first person to get into those waters had a chance at being healed. And we don't know how often that happens, but often enough to draw a crowd there day after day. And for those who didn't get a chance to get in the waters and be healed, at least it became a really good place to hold out your cup and get some loose change. 38 years paralyzed. He had spent more of his life on that mat than on his very own feet. 38 years unable to take care of himself. 38 years having to be carried anywhere that he wanted to go. 38 years stuck. Anyone feel like their stuckness is going on about 38 years now? For some of us, it is. Enter Jesus. Seems he always has a way of moving toward people who are sure they are stuck for good. You see, this man, he's not like some of the other ones we see in the Gospels who they hear that Jesus is nearby and they start to cry out, "Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me." It doesn't go that way. It doesn't even really seem that this man notices that Jesus is in his midst. It's Jesus who notices him. And he doesn't just notice that this man cannot walk, but John says Jesus knew that he had been there for a while. How did Jesus know that? It seems that Jesus always seems to know when we have stayed on our mat for a little too long, overstayed our welcome. And so Jesus is in this courtyard that is jam-packed with people in need. And he goes straight to this one man. And he asks him a very direct question. Do you want to be well? You remember in school when your teachers would tell you that there are no dumb questions? Remember that? That's not really true, is it? There are definitely some dumb questions. You're going out with your partner for the night, you come out of your bedroom, and they say, "Is that what you're going to wear?" That's a dumb question. If you go up to a woman that you don't really know, and you ask her if she's expecting, that's a dangerous question. And it's probably a dumb question, too. One of my favorite movies, you'll never guess what it is, Dumb and Dumber. There's this scene, and they're at the gas station. They come out. There's a car with skis on top. He goes, "Those your skis?" And the person goes, "Yes." He goes, "Both of them?" That's a dumb question. There are dumb questions. This man has been paralyzed for 38 years. 38 years. And Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be well?" Is that a dumb question? I mean, doesn't it go without saying that being stuck on a mat is the pits? Of course he wants to be well, Jesus. Why are you asking this poor man such an obvious question? But does the God of the universe, the source of all wisdom, ask dumb questions? You see, Jesus was never one for just pointless small talk, was he? Seems like he always got to the point. And everything he said was always so intentional. And so could there be more to this question? Do you want to be well? Based on the man's response, maybe the answer isn't so obvious. And because rather than a quick, "Of course I want to be well, Jesus, are you kidding me? That's all I want." Instead of that, he immediately goes into excuses. "I can't be well. There's no one to put me in the water. When it starts to bubble, there's always someone else to get there first." You see, in our stuck places, we find that we get really good at listing off excuses for why we can't be well. You know how that goes. There's somebody that you care about, this friend that's stuck, and you're trying to help them move into whatever it is, beyond whatever's holding them back from life, and everything that you suggest to them, one thing after another, they shoot it down with the quick, "Well, I can't do that because of this. Okay, then how about this? Oh, I can't do this because of that." And it just goes on and on and on until you begin to wonder to yourself, do they really want to be well? Because these excuses shoot down every invitation to life that I can come up with. This man by the pool, "I can't be well, Jesus. There's no one to help me get in the waters when they begin to stir. Doesn't matter if I want it, it can't happen." Really? Really? In 38 years of being in this same place every day, there's no one. None of these folks could have come around you who have seen you do this for 38 years, and they might have just one day decided to work together to see that this could be your day. There's really not just one person that you could save up all those coins you've been getting and that you could pay off on the right day to put you on the edge of that water so when those begin to stir, you're the first one in. No one. No way. Nothing in 38 years that could have come together to help you get what you need to be well. Jesus asked the question, not because it's a dumb question. Jesus asked the question because he knows how easily our hearts settle for not being well. He knows how quickly we let the excuses for our stuckness become our go-to response. When the giver of life is standing right in front of us, saying, "I can make you well if you want it. I can free you from those mats of stuckness. If full life is really what you're after, the question is, do you want it? Do you really want to be well? Or do you actually kind of like staying sick, staying stuck?" Because if we start to think about it, this lame man, he's got something going for him after all. I mean, sure, his life is not a bowl of cherries, it's not all roses, but he has found some way to survive in this condition for 38 years. He collects enough coins to feed himself. He hasn't starved yet, not in 38 years. I mean, imagine if he did get healed. There goes the cup. There goes the coins. He might have to get a job. And he's never had one of those before. That's terrifying. Folks might start asking him for a hand. He's never been in that position before. You don't get asked to do very many favors when you can't even walk. But when you can dance because there was this God who healed you, people might start expecting you to carry your weight a little bit more. To be well, he might not have much time to hang out around this pool every day. He's going to be busy getting on with life, and it's all these people who have become his community. And so to start over, he's going to have to find a whole new community. And even when the one that you already know is full of folks who are just as stuck as you are, that is hard to start over and finding your people. It is easier to stay in what is familiar, even when it's not working at all, than it is to step into the unknown. There is a lot of risk in being well. We say we want it, but deep down, if we're honest, we are usually scared to death of it. Because there's a lot that Jesus asked of his disciples who are actually free. We say we want it, but deep down, we're not so sure we want Jesus asking any more of us. We'd kind of prefer the Jesus who just loves us on our little mats over the Jesus who tells us to get up and walk because there's some work to do, some good work, some life-changing work, but it's work nonetheless. Do we want to be well? It's risky to be well. Responsibility, expectations comes with being well. Do we want to be well? What might be our stuck place in life? Nobody was carried in here on a mat this morning. But what might be our stuck place in life? That place that keeps us from being fully alive in the joy and presence and purpose and calling of Christ. What's our stuck place? If it's resentment, that's some of ours. Do we really want to be well? Or have we kind of found our identity in being a victim? They did this to me. Do we kind of like to be mad? We feel justified in that. We're not so sure what's going to be left of us if we just choose to forgive and move on in peace. What's our stuck place? If it's addiction, do we really want to be well? Or is there some peace in knowing that we have this substance to turn to anytime that life is too hard or too boring or too stressful? If we let that go and trust Jesus to fill us in those places, will he be as satisfying as what we've come to rely on? What's our stuck place? If it's an unhealthy relationship that's keeping us stuck, to be well might mean getting therapy, and that is hard. Or it might mean walking away and being alone before we ever find something new. That's even harder. Is the dysfunctional known less scary than the possibility of this joy-filled unknown? What's our mat? What's our stuck place? What keeps us from being fully alive in Jesus? What's keeping us from being fully open to his love, from being fully ready to go with him wherever he goes? What's keeping us from diving in head first into the life that he's got prepared for us, holding nothing back? What's our mat? What are we stuck on? Fear, perhaps. Whatever Jesus wants from me might be too much. Laziness, whatever Jesus wants might take too much effort. Indifference, regardless of what Jesus wants, there's other things that I want more. Doubt, not so convinced that Jesus has much more for me than what I've got anyway. Ignorance, I just don't really know about Jesus or what he's promised. How could I want it if I don't even know about it? What's your mat? What's the thing that keeps you stuck? That keeps you from growing in Christ? That keeps you from living fully alive in him? That keeps you right near the place of healing? I mean, just steps away from it. But those few pesky excuses keep telling you why it's better to just stay on the mat. Let somebody else have it. Do you want to be well? It's not a dumb question, it turns out. Turns out Jesus never asked dumb questions. He asked the kind of questions that expose what's deep in our hearts. If you're tired of living on that mat, if you're tired of watching the pool stir up and others jump in and get well, if you're tired of watching others dance off into the fullness of life, if you're tired of watching others take Jesus by the hand and find healing in their broken places, if you're tired of watching it happen to them and you're ready for it to be you, hear this. Just as Jesus saw the man in John chapter 5, Jesus sees you. And he sees that you've been on that mat for a while longer than you were supposed to by now. And Jesus moves toward you. And Jesus dares to ask you, do you want to be well? Because if you do, Jesus has a better vision of what your life can be than you've ever had for yourself. The same Jesus that this guy meets is the same Jesus in our midst this day. Stuck on that mat, you just can't see all that there is to see. There's no way. But Jesus can see. Jesus knows what we've got to live for. Jesus knows the fullness of life that is ready for each one of us. Jesus knows. You know how when you're too close to something, you can't always see the way forward. When I'm driving in my car in a new neighborhood, I got my GPS going. Ever so often, I have to just kind of zoom it out a little bit. I need this bigger picture of where I am on this earth, where I'm headed, how this all comes together. Whenever I have it right there on, here's the road I'm on, here's the block I'm on, and I'm surrounded by trees and houses I've never seen, I can get totally lost in this world. But I zoom it out just a little bit. Ah, now I see how this all works together to get me from here to here. Have you ever been rock climbing? Don't do it. It's not fun. I used to go with friends in college, and I was terrible at it. I hate rock climbing. But I've done it. And every single time, someone would eventually get stuck halfway up the rock. Usually it was me. Someone would get stuck. And they would start reaching in every direction with their arms and their legs, trying to find something, anything, and they couldn't find a thing to hold on to. And so they'd freeze. And some of them would say, all right, I'm done. Ready to come back down. They are stuck. But there's the other people when you're rock climbing who are standing on the ground. And they have this full rock in their view. Their face isn't stuck right up against it. So they can see the path up. They can see the possibilities. And those people start to tell that person, it's okay, it's okay. You have options. Take your right foot. Move it about 8 inches over, about 2 feet up. And there's a notch right there. If you step on that, it'll hold you. We promise we can see it. It'll hold you. And there that person goes and up one step. Up one step that they couldn't see on their own. They were too close to it. When we are on our mats, when we're stuck, when we really don't know how to get moving again with our Jesus, he always has that zoomed out view. Our Jesus can see the whole rock. He can see the whole path to the top. He can see the entire way to life. And he alone can say, turn here, left arm over here, right foot over there. Jesus can see the life for us that we cannot see for ourselves. And if we dare to say to him, yes, Jesus, yes, we want to be well. No more excuses. Yes, Jesus, we want to live, Jesus. We want to live with you, Jesus. We want to live for you, Jesus. He will take our hand and he will show us the way because he wants nothing more than a bunch of people saying, yes, I want to be well. I am so over being stuck. Yes, Jesus, yes. Jesus says to us what he said to this man, if you want to be well, there's a way. Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. If you want to be well in Jesus, stand up. Do something, he's saying. Anything to get a foot off of that mat. Send in an application. Call a therapist. Get on their schedule. Do it now because they're all booked up. Enroll in a class that you know will move you forward into the life that God is calling you to live. Get help. Take a risk. Don't just sit on the mat and talk about how you wish things were different, but they just can't be different because. Stand up, Jesus says, stand up and do something with Jesus that looks like moving even a tiny toe forward into life with Jesus. Stand up. If you want to be well, he says, after you stand up, pick up your mat. Once you pick a mat up, it's kind of worthless. Mats are meant to be on the ground. What he's saying, get rid of that mat. Get rid of it. You don't want it to be sitting right there to call you back to that old familiar place over and over again. Pick up that mat and dispose of those things that keep you stuck. Make a clean break with your past. Just finally choose once and for all to forgive them. Maybe to forgive yourself. And mean it this time. Enough letting what happened way back then steal the joy of what can happen today. Pick up your mat. Pick up your mat. Clean out the liquor cabinet. Just throw it away. Why leave one there just in case? Get rid of it. Leave the crowd that is as stuck as you are. Pick up that mat. Drop that toxic boyfriend or girlfriend. Pick up the mat. Put porn filters on your phone. Pick up the mat. Talk to a debt counselor. And be real this time about how bad it's really gotten. Pick up the mat. Cancel your social media or your Candy Crush game. If it's consuming the time that you could be living on adventure with Jesus, pick up your mat and get rid of it. That thing that keeps calling you back to the same old place that has been keeping you from full life in Christ for 38 years now or for 38 months now. Doesn't matter. Lost time is lost time and time is a gift. Get rid of it. Whatever it is, get rid of it. Today is a gift. Let's not waste it with these mats. Why not get rid of them today? Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. Want to be well? Start walking. Set your sights on Jesus and get excited about the adventure he's got for you because it is exciting. This miracle worker, Jesus, he tells you that if you want to be well, he will take you there. That is good news. That's exciting. He'll take you to a full life if you want it. He'll take you to a healthy heart if you want it. He will take you to a joy-filled soul if you want it. He will take you on a purposeful adventure if you want it. He will lead you out of a broken past and call you redeemed if you want it. He will give you a hopeful future if you want it. And he will bless your today if you want it. He will take you there. But you're gonna have to walk. Don't just sit back on that mat and think it over for a while longer. Enough of that, right? What's it done for us so far? Where's it gotten us? Nothing. Nowhere. Isn't it time that we just take this life with Jesus stuff seriously? For real. That we actually really get to walking with him. Might we even decide that this day we are going on a walk with our Jesus and we are not gonna stop walking until he has made us well. Might we dare to believe in the Jesus who actually believes in us? The one who can look at a lame man on a mat and say, you can walk. Might we dare to believe in the Jesus who believes within us? The Jesus who can see the whole rock and knows how to get to the top. Where we're going to do that little happy dance, alive and free. Walk. Believe in the Jesus who already believes in you. Do you want to be well? Really? If there's even one yes in the room, Jesus is ready to show you life like you have never seen it before. Stand up. Pick up your mat and throw it away. He should have said that too. And walk. In the presence of your Jesus who sees you and loves you, stand up and walk. Let him change you for the first time this day. Or maybe for the 1,000th time, let him change you as you walk with him today. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you that each of us carried some kind of mat in here this morning. Some of our mats are bigger than others. But this side of heaven, Jesus, none of us are as fully alive and free in you as we want to be. I mean, some of us have grown eons and we celebrate that growth and we love you like never before. But we find that the more we love you, just the more we want to love you. And so we all have mats. Those little voices that try to hold us back, that try to tell us that this is good enough. This is as good as it gets. This is all God can do in us this side of heaven. And yet this morning we remember, Jesus, that when you walk into the room, when you walk into the courtyard, when you walk into our hearts, there's always more. More freedom, more grace, more redemption, more purpose, more life, more joy, more peace. This morning, would you remind us of what's even more true than those mats that hold us back, and that's your extended hand that draws us forward to stand up and walk. Help each of us know what that next step walking with you actually looks like today. And would you give us the love for you, the trust in you, and the courage to take that step, however big or small it may be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.